As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake Doctor's Orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. UFC Central. UFC Central with Showdown Joe.
Are you ready?
Welcome to UFC Central. I'm your host, Showdown Joe, for the next hour. We're going to talk some mixed martial arts, UFC, Battlegrounds MMA, and everything in between on the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network. My guests this week will include good old JR, Jim Ross, who will be joining us from Tulsa, Oklahoma, the site, actually, of Battlegrounds MMA from last weekend. And we'll also talk to Elias Theodoro and Mitch Gagnon, both Canadians, emerged victorious at the UFC event in Halifax that, I was hoping to attend to, but obviously because of certain situations, I was unable to do so. And if you've been following me via Twitter, at Showdown Joe, as well as via my Facebook page, Showdown Joe, and of course my Instagram account, Showdown Joe as well, you've noticed a few changes in my life, in essence, but we will continue on. If you haven't heard, UFC Central, the television side, is no more. It is what it is. The last airing was last week while I was in Tulsa. There was no secret why I was out of the country. For those that didn't know, it was a very difficult scenario to deal with, but we need to move forward. We need to move on. Thankfully, we still have this radio show and podcast to continue covering mixed martial arts. My contributions to sportsnet.ca will continue. I'll try and write some specific articles, whether they be interviews or just looking at mixed martial arts from an outside perspective, not just what happens inside of a cage, a ring, or an octagon. But for those that, and listen, everyone out there that has sent me those exceptional, wonderfully heartfelt message, you were pulling on my heartstrings over the past few days. Thank you very, very much. I also got a whole whack of calls and texts from you know, fighters under the UFC banner, both past and present. So it's been a difficult, trying past few days, but it is what it is. We continue to do what we do. It's pretty obvious how much I love this sport and love my job. But we're going to continue moving forward, doing what we have to do to make sure the sport of mixed martial arts and the Ultimate Fighting Championship, for an example, is still being profiled here in Canada, and hopefully we take it. We continue to try and struggle to take this around the world. I made it clear in my Facebook post when I announced that, you know, rest in peace, UFC Central, that my pride and joy is no more. That one of the difficulties I've always had living in Canada, and it has nothing to do with anything other than, you know, situations outside of my circumstances, but trying to get the world to see UFC Central, the television side, trying to see what we do here in Canada, and the team over at Sportsnet that we were able to put, or at Sportsnet that we were able to put together, and put together the show that I think is the best in the industry. We just can't do it because of certain limitations and you know, certain contracts that are signed, and it's no disrespect to the UFC or Sportsnet, it's the way it is. It's the way the business runs. It is unfortunate for a guy like myself and my team trying to get the world to see the show. I made it clear that, you know, and there's some fans that knew this a long time ago, that we're in this bubble in Canada that no one else can see what we do, while the rest of the world feels like it's global for them. And I know that there's other countries out there whose content is geo-blocked as well, but it kind of sucks that over, you know, the past 5.5 years, the world only got to see glimpses of what UFC Central is. Unless you live in Canada, you've never really, outside of Canada, you haven't really seen the evolution of UFC Central and how great the show truly was. It's unfortunately we have to use it in the past tense, and we'll see where we go from here moving forward. But at the same time, I really wish the world could have seen the show over the past 5.5 years. And I'll never forget so many of the UFC media and fans that would come into Canada, stay in their hotel room during a UFC event from Vancouver all the way now to Halifax, as an example, that would get to see the show and be like, oh my goodness, like, this is amazing. And you feel like a million bucks when people tell you that. And it's like, sorry, I wish we could showcase it to you online. And there was a time when the show was geo-blocked. And that's when a lot of people were like, whoa, whoa, there's some good stuff happening in Canada. And, you know, when Dana White used to call Canada the mecca of MMA, and we would say, look, this is the show that people are watching. And we would help the people, you know, recap events, preview events, drive them over to pay-per-view to get them to understand this is a real sport. It's legit in Canada. But outside of the Canadian borders, people, you know, weren't able to watch much and stuff like that. But there's really good shows down in the States. I get to see them firsthand, and there's some good stuff online. But, you know, nothing that I believe could compare to what we do here at Sports Day with my UFC Central team. Like I said, there are really good shows. I just believe in the product that we were able to put together that would take it to the next level. But, you know, like I said, moving forward, we've got to continue to do what we have to do. I won't ever stop. I'll tell you that right now. I will never stop trying to make sure the world sees mixed martial arts and the UFC the way that I see it or wish that they could tell the stories. That's why I was so prideful in terms of what I would show on the show and what I would showcase in terms of, you know, from a fighter's perspective, both mentally and physically, and looking at it from a promoter's perspective. You know, I pride myself. I learned the lesson a long time ago as a youth, growing up where I grew up, all across Toronto. I moved so much when I was a child. And in my teens, that, you know what, before you make an opinion, before you make an assertion, try and put yourself in someone else's shoes, and what would you do in their scenario? And that's what I always try to do, as opposed to just giving my opinion. What's it like to be in the fighter's shoe making their octagon debut? What's it like for George St. Pierre to defend his title? Try and get into that mindset, into that physical ability, and try and figure it out. What's it like being Dana White? What's it like being Lorenzo Fertitta? What's it like being Joe Silva or the PR teams for various promotions? What's it like being the promoter that's trying to compete with the UFC or trying to grow talent? You know, try and think of it in that perspective and try and tell that story, as opposed to sitting there on a soapbox and saying Dana White's wrong and George St. Pierre's wrong and the judges are wrong and the refs are wrong. And that's why I specifically went out and tried to certify myself as a ref and a judge and go through Big John McCarthy's course, so I could see and try and understand what the refs go through, what the judges go through. And the same thing with what I'm telling the stories and what we did for UFC Central, trying to get people to understand, hey, hold on a second, it's easy to sit there and watch on TV and then come up with an opinion. But wait a second, before you come up with that opinion, here's what this person's going through. Here's why this decision was made. Here's why this guy did that in the third round. And it's easy to say, you shouldn't have did that in the third round. Well, guess what? Dude was extremely tired. You're not making the right calls after being punched in the head so many times. So try and look at it from everyone's perspective. And that's what we tried with the show. And that's what we try to do here whenever we get to interview some of the fighters and managers and coaches and trainers and bigwigs. And, you know, the one thing that I knew that when I was offered the gig with Battlegrounds MMA, when I took the gig, is I knew I wasn't going to Halifax ahead of time. People were wondering, hey, where's Showdown Joe? Where's UFC Central? Why isn't Sportsnet here? Well, I got the news ahead of time that I wasn't going to be going, and I didn't want to just stay at home and cover the event. I wanted to be out and get out there a bit more. And then when I was given that opportunity to work the backstage area from Battlegrounds, I said, this is going to be great. This is a one-night tournament. One thing that, you know, we could probably showcase is what these fighters are going through in the eight-man tournament. And above all, I get to work with Jim Ross and Chael P. Sonnen. Working with Chael over the years has been fantastic, is one thing. But to work with Jim Ross, I mean, a lot of us at my age, you know, got to watch wrestling growing up, and Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Rock, and that was the era that I was sort of, even before that, with Ric Flair back in the days, and listening to the commentary of Jim Ross telling the stories and sometimes, you know, doing what he has to do. You just grow up with that voice in your head. To meet him in person and then to be able to work with him, you can't pass up that opportunity no matter what. So I said, I'll head down to Tulsa, I'll do that, I'll work with the guys, I'll work with Battlegrounds MMA, continue to promote their event at the same time promote what the Ultimate Fighting Championship is doing on Sportsnet, via Fight Pass in Stockholm, and on the Halifax show, doing what I had to do, juggling all of that, doing the radio show while I was down there, as you heard last week. So a lot of fun. But I got to tell you, working with a legend like Jim Ross and listening to his stories, ladies and gentlemen, it is unmatched. I mean, that guy's stories are unbelievable. But to be able to, you know, I call it osmosis, greatness through osmosis, to be at a table with Chael P. and with Jim Ross and listening to Jim Ross, and especially with the production team and dealing with the fighters, interviewing the fighters, gathering what we needed to gather for the broadcast, was something else. And I asked Jim Ross if he'd be more than happy to join us on the show. So he's joining us right now. And you know, I hear some sort of static back there. If I'm not mistaken, he's probably driving around, but Jim Ross joins us right now. Mr. Ross, how are you today?
Joe, couldn't be better, buddy. Good talking to you again.
Oh, it was an absolute honor and pleasure working alongside yourself and Chael P. Sonnen. But I understand you're driving around right now. You're a one-man gang, I believe.
Yeah, I am leaving my home in Norman to drive to a community west of Oklahoma City to pick up some JR's beef jerky. So one of my many fingers and one of my many ties that we're cooking. So I'm acting as my delivery man today. Just a common blue-collar guy going up and picking up some beef jerky and taking to ship it to a customer, so it's all good.
Oh, absolutely love it. You are as blue-collar as they come, but the best of the best, and it was an honor for myself, as I mentioned earlier in the show, to work with a gentleman like yourself. But I wanted to ask you, wanted to let the dust settle sort of thing after, you know, all went down at Battlegrounds MMA in your home city, pretty much in your home state. What is your overall take on the experience of working your very first mixed martial arts event?
Well, you know, Joe, after broadcasting for as many years as I have, it was fun to do something different. It was the excitement of the unknown, so to speak. You know, I certainly am, and didn't purport myself to be going in, nor during the broadcast, an expert in MMA broadcasting. But I certainly had a wonderful time. I thought Chael and I at rings cage side was a unique combination, and it seemed like it worked out pretty good. So I had fun, man. The bottom line was that I had fun. Do I have room to learn more product knowledge and to be perhaps more traditional in the MMA play-by-play world? I probably do, without question. But I learned a lot talking to guys like yourself who are immersed in it, students of the game, work with Chael. Realizing I got a long way to go, but I just hope I continue to get some opportunities and we can make this thing work.
I mean, it's difficult for a guy like myself, having been involved in the world of mixed martial arts for as long as I have, and watching you as a youth growing up, and watching your commentary in WWE and just the evolution. And when I hear someone like yourself saying you've got so much room to grow, I kind of scratch my head because, I mean, it doesn't get much better than Jim Ross behind the microphone. So when you say that to yourself, what do you tell yourself when you go back to your own, you know, virtual dressing room and say, I need to work on this, this, and that?
Well, I need to work on more product knowledge. I need to understand that when we get into near submission situations, that you can't quite see, but you got to feel. I've always been a student of the game. If I went back and did pro wrestling tomorrow, which I had no plans on doing, I know that I would need to be better than the last broadcast that I did. And I've always taken that attitude that the last one was the last one, the next one will be the best one. So that's kind of where I've been on that. That's my mindset. So I think product knowledge, recognizing near submissions or submission situations. But, you know, when Chael and I went on the air, I explained to him, my job is going to be to tell the fans about the fighters as human beings. Your job will be to tell the fans about the fighters as fighters and what they do well, what they must avoid, what they must do to win, what they must do to not lose. And I want to tell them, the fans, about who these people are. So because of the card we had, Joe, you know, we had a lot of guys that were kind of off the radar, that even the most diehard, devout MMA aficionados weren't totally familiar with. So that's kind of my take on that deal. Always work to do, always try to make yourself better, and I think that goes for everybody. I got this big issue about comfort zones. I've had a lot of long talks with some of the biggest stars in the pro wrestling genre about not allowing yourself to live in your comfort zone, because when you start growing, you start dying as a personality or as a talent. So we all can get better, and that's what I intend to do if I get the opportunity to stay in the MMA broadcasting world.
You're listening to UFC Central. On the line with us right now is the legendary Jim Ross. Follow Jim online at JRsBBQ. He's the WWE Hall of Fame announcer, a barbecue connoisseur, a number one Oklahoma Sooners fan. JR, what I want to do is I want to share some of the conversations that we were having with some of the fighters during our pre-production meetings. And one thing that stood out to me was the one thing I try and profess with these young and up-and-comers is to really make some noise. And it was something that you reiterated to some of these young guys, make some noise. And here I am with, you know, I'm across the table from you. I got Chael P. Sonnen to my right, a master promoter himself. But you were giving advice to these young guys. And I'll never forget the line, this is what puts cheese on your Whopper. Can you share a little bit to some of these up-and-comers the importance of making noise in the MMA industry?
Well, the bottom line is that they got to learn to sell themselves and to sell their fights. They got to become marketers as well as fighters. You know, the MMA world doesn't need any moots, any people that don't speak or they can't speak. They don't need to be a pro wrestling promo guy, but they need to be themselves and confident in what they're doing and try to help sell their event. So that's what I was trying to get to them. All of them can't be Chael Sonnens, but they can all be themselves, and they can all think of ways to better sell their fights.
What about to the promoters? Now that you've experienced your first event behind the scenes for a mixed martial arts promotion, what advice would you have for them to better sell their product?
Well, you know, I think that the one thing that human interest stories, explaining to the fans who these fighters are, they're not just a bunch of tattooed individuals with, you know, that look like you wouldn't want to meet them in a dark alley. They have human sides. They have mothers, they have fathers. Many of them are husbands and wives in some cases. And so you want to let people know who they are so I can make an emotional investment in cheering for them or not. But at least make me care about them in some way. Give me something to identify with them with, that because the average Joe is not going to be able to identify with tattoos from head to toe or being a fighter. So give me something else that I can hang my hat on, and I can emotionally invest in these athletes.
I think we all pretty much know the answer to this, but I'm going to ask you anyways. Would you be willing to do this all over again?
Absolutely. Heck yeah, I'd love to. I had a blast, had fun, enjoyed the whole situation, and thought it was terrific. So if given the opportunity, I'd love to reengage and see if I could raise the bar a little bit and get better. Like I said, I've got a long way to go, but my heart's in the right place. I've got the passion and I got the motivation, and I find it to be fun. I don't have a gun to my head that I got to have another gig to go to the grocery store. I got to have another gig because I really had fun doing it. And that's what life's about, is enjoying every day, and where you do projects that don't seem like work, but they seem like fun. I'm lucky to be here. And I felt Friday night in our environment that I thoroughly enjoyed, that we were all lucky to be there.
Well, it's you're taking the words right out of my mouth, JR, because speaking of fun and speaking of lucky, I don't know whether it was when we were having dinner, whether we were in that pickup truck driving back from the weigh-ins, whether we were live on the air, pre-production meeting. You talk about fun. Some of the stories that you were telling about your days in the WWE were absolute classics, none or most of which I will not repeat on the air, because you do have a book hopefully coming out soon.
Yeah.
So I will leave that up to the book. What is the latest on the book coming out?
Well, we're still working. It's a major, major process. I talked to Bob Holly last night, and it took him 18 months to write his book. And I hope that we're done by spring or summer of next year. So, it's really an emotional roller coaster. But I'm really happy that we finally started it. And now that I'm like everything else I start, I'm going to try to finish in a big way. So I think it'll be great. I hope it'll be great. It'll be entertaining. It's going to be about life, not just about headlocks and hammerlocks and promoters and all that. It will have all those stories. There's a lesson to be learned on the career that I had with very unlikely beginnings to have a 40-year run in a very unique genre.
Well, if you tell one-tenth of the stories you told us over the past weekend, I'd pay $1,000 for that book, because it was absolutely fantastic. But speaking of nowadays, what keeps Jim Ross busy nowadays?
Well, I've got my condiment business. We're trying to get into Canada through various sources. We have some product in the in Toronto now at the Megan Brothers Subway shop. I think it's Belly Buster Subs. But we're trying to hit into grocery stores in Canada. My condiment business is a big love. We're working on the book. I do a weekly podcast that you can subscribe to for free on iTunes called The Ross Report. And, you know, OU football is every weekend. I'm going to those games home and away. So I'm not looking for a lot of I'm not bored. I got plenty to do, and I really like staying that way. I'm not retired by any stretch. I never was retired, and I don't have any plans to retire. So I love life. I take it one day at a time because tomorrow's not guaranteed. So we've always got plenty of time to do more projects, but I'm staying very busy, Joe.
Well, before we let you go, the one thing that yourself, Chael, and myself did not discuss is the art of the perfect steak. Now, I literally had steak last night, and I had some today for lunch, but I thought to myself while I was cooking the damn thing, I said, how would JR want me to cook this thing? Give me some advice.
Well, I always liked marinating my steaks overnight. I rarely cook a steak the day I buy it. I think the difference is, I might want to use my JR seasoning or any seasoning of your choice. Montreal steak seasoning is good. I like to use a little bit of liquid smoke, wrap it up nice and tight, and I like to put it in the refrigerator and leave it overnight, cook it the next day. It's immensely better, more flavor. So that's one thing. And I cook my steak on the grill is my preference outside. But, you know, a lot of people that are in cold weather areas have to use a broiler in their oven. But if you can swing getting outside or grilling and you marinate overnight, you'll find a significant difference in the taste of your steak, and people will think that you're a steak master. So those are two very simple little deals, but I think the marinating overnight is the key one.
Listen, I appreciate your time. There is never enough time, and I look forward to talking to you real soon, perhaps working with you again, but definitely, if not, once that book starts coming out there, I'll be more than happy to get you back on the show.
Sounds great, Joe. Thanks, buddy. It was great working with you, and I look forward to seeing you again.
There you have it, Jim Ross, the legendary JR. All right, coming up after the break, we're going to hear from Elias Theodoro and as well as Mitch Gagnon, who's making waves in the UFC's bantamweight division. You're listening to UFC Central right here on the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. UFC Central. UFC Central with Showdown Joe.
Are you ready?
Welcome back to UFC Central. I'm your host, Showdown Joe. We're talking mixed martial arts, UFC, and everything in between on the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network. So, UFC went down in Halifax last weekend. A great showing from all the fans that have been hitting me up on Twitter and on Facebook, and just people that I know that were there personally. It was a grand experience. Another great debut for the Ultimate Fighting Championship in a Canadian city. The very first time out there on the East Coast. You know, I even got a message from TJ Grant. We've been going back and forth, just talking about certain things, and you know, it's so funny. He's going to kill me for this, but I almost call this the TJ Grant curse as a joke. I mean, we talk about this all the time at UFC Central. How many times have I looked TJ Grant in the eyes and said, TJ, looking forward to coming out to seeing you in Nova Scotia. Can't wait to do a feature on you. And he's like, yeah, whatever. No, TJ, I promise, I guarantee you, we're working on it. We're going to come out there. We're going to do a feature. We're going to have a great time. Yeah, Joe, how many times have you told me that? And then the UFC, has an event. Excuse me, an event in Halifax. I'm like, boom, guaranteed. We're going out there to cover the event. I'm going to grab TJ. We're going to have a good time. I know he's not on the card. I'm going to say hi. I'll take him out for lunch, dinner, something, breakfast. We'll meet up. We'll connect. I'll go to his gym. We'll do a feature. We'll bank it whenever he comes back and all that jazz there. And then I'm told I'm not going to Halifax. It's got to be the TJ Grant curse. So TJ, if you're listening, I apologize, but I'll say it again. Some way, somehow, I will get out there. I don't know when. I don't know how, but Some way, somehow, it's going to get done. Bottom line is they were in TJ's backyard with an exceptional event. The Canadians did very, very well. Obviously, Rory McDonald putting on a spectacular performance, guaranteed now to get that title shot, with Dana White recently stating that he will get that shot in Montreal in 2015. So let's all pay attention to Johnny Hendricks and... Robbie Lawler, the winner, will likely take on Rory McDonald. Now, I've said it before, and you know, I may be retracting the statement, but I did say last week when I spoke with Faraz Ahabi that will George St. Pierre come back if Robbie Lawler becomes the champion? And you know, there was no guarantee, no yes or no, but I wonder if George St. Pierre looks and says to himself, wait a second, I've already fought Johnny Hendricks, despite the fact whether people think it's a controversial victory or not, I've already fought him, I want to fight the winner, maybe Robbie Lawler, who I've never fought before. That could put a kink in the plans for Rory McDonald. But if GSP was to come back, and it won't be for a while, maybe he comes back and only does super fights. Maybe he only comes back and does it at 185 pounds if Rory McDonald's a champion. So a lot of things to pay attention to when it comes to George St. Pierre and this welterweight title picture right now. Because remember, Dana White did say if George does come back, he gets the title shot. I highly doubt George would step in there and try and ruin Rory's plans. I don't think he'll do that. But at the same time, anything can happen in the world of mixed martial arts. Now, one guy who did emerge victorious in Halifax was Elias Theodoro, the middleweight winner of the Ultimate Fighter Canada, Ultimate Fighter Nations Canada versus Australia. And heading into that fight when he was taking on Bruno Santos, you know, many of us were looking and saying this is going to be an amazing test for Elias Theodoro, but he did a great job, and he joins us right now on the line. Mr. Theodoro, how are you today?
I'm fantastic, Joe. How are you?
Well, good. I'm doing pretty good, other than the fact that my heart was in Halifax when you and the boys were all competing, and unfortunately I wasn't able to be there. But give us your overall experience out there on Canada's East Coast.
Well, you were there in spirit, brother. With that being said, it's my second time fighting out in Halifax, and it was a fantastic time. Halifax has been good to me. 2-0 down there, and now 11-0 under the UFC banner. So, and a lot of the Canadian boys did well. So, we all came out victorious, Team Canada.
Let's talk about Bruno Santos, your opponent last Saturday night. Obviously, a rough and rugged competitor, a guy who likes to grind it out. But you took away his game early and often. And I got to tell you, it was an absolutely fantastic performance. I was expecting you to go through a bit more of a war, but you neutralized them.
Yeah, that's kind of my style in many ways. And that's what I want to be known for, like just drowning people and with my cardio and just my pace. And one of the persons, like people that I look to, like so regarded, I mean, I regard so highly, it would be Cain Velasquez. And that's someone that I just really want to emulate in any way I can.
In terms of preparing for a guy like him, where did you do your training camp?
For most of my training, I was going back and forth between Toronto and Montreal. Down there, I trained at TriStar as the whole thing continued. But I also kept the relationships with everyone on the show. I trained with Crew Ash at Titans Gym. I trained at Montreal Wrestling Club with David Zimmerman, BTV Canada with Pat and Fabio. And like I said, TriStar as well. Like everyone was really kind and great to open the doors to me, and I'm honestly very thankful for all their help.
Well, you remain undefeated, but there always comes a time in a fighter's career when he has to look at himself and start reevaluating certain things, despite continuing to have that zero on his record. Are you going to stay in the Toronto region, or are you looking at moving out east?
Well, yeah, that's definitely true. Like in the idea that as great as Toronto is and whatnot, there's not that many people my size and at my level. So I will have to be a little bit of a nomad and jumping around and be a little bit of a gym whore. But with that being said, I found a second home in many of the places in Montreal, and I plan on continuing going out there. All us Canadian boys even talked about it afterwards, that we had a good thing going, and we'll keep it up. And that's the plan.
In terms of a guy like Faraz Ahabi, who's an absolute guru when it comes to breaking down fights and getting guys ready, what did he tell you after the fight? What was his assessment of your performance?
No, he told me good job. And although, obviously, because right after my fight, he had Rory to deal with, right? So that was where his mindset was. But a quick conversation just in the idea that I did what I needed to do. And like you said, neutralized that very short but very powerful bull that I fought. And it was just a good night for all of us. And wow, talk about an epic knockout by Rory.
Yeah, Rory is something else. I mean, the guy's absolutely fantastic in terms of what he's doing. But when I focus on a guy like yourself, and, you know, you're still a bit of work to get into that top 15, has the UFC mentioned when they'd like to see you compete again and perhaps against someone in the top 10?
To be completely honest, I'm not not in any rush to jump into the top 10 just yet. I think I still need to make a couple more fights to prove that I'm worth it. And there were a couple of middleweights that fought that same day out in Sweden. So Jocko, the only other man that beat Bruno, me and him have something in common, and he won his fight, so that would be a great fight. He's an awesome kickboxer, and he beat Tor up.
Absolutely. Now, I'm trying to think to myself in terms of where you want to improve your game, because I look at your skill set, and I'll never forget with what Raging Cajun told me is that when you spar with Elias, it's got to be one of the most annoying things ever, because it doesn't look right, but he pounds you in the face or takes you down, and then you have to get right back up. So I wonder about yourself. You don't want to change too much of your game, because your opponents are always guessing, but how do you improve what you do right now?
It's not broken, why fix it, right? No, with that being said, like, obviously, even with the win, like you said, I got to go back to the drawing board and just learn and grow. I'm a mixed martial artist, so knowledge is power in many different ways. And the day I think I know everything is the day I get my butt kicked on national TV, so I definitely don't want that. Honestly, I'm just continuing the striking, continuing and all that. I'm really good at just, like I said, suffocating people, and I'm going to just continue doing that. And I'm planning on, like, honestly working on my jiu-jitsu too. Like, I showed a little bit of my game in regards to that, because Bruno is a Pan-American champ and brown belt. So to get him off my back and then pretty much take his at will in the third shows that something's working there. So I plan to keep on forcing that, and I need a couple more submissions in my record, because I only have one rear naked, and I need a couple more.
You're listening to UFC Central. On the line with us right now is Elias Theodoro. He is the inaugural middleweight Ultimate Fighter from Canada. The nickname is The Spartan. Make sure you follow him online via Twitter at Elias Theodoro, and check out his Instagram page as well, because you get some really nice pictures that kind of put a smile on my face. Obviously, the self-proclaimed best hair in MMA. There is a competition brewing right now between you and Kenny Florian. Make the case as to why you do have the best hair in MMA.
Well, I would say that I have the best hair in current MMA. He's a fantastic looking man, and he has a great hair to match it. And I just think my game is just a little bit better. And it helps that I look like every beige character from Disney.
You're also a self-proclaimed video vixen. Do explain, please.
Yes, I've been in a couple of music videos, and let's just say I'm the hot piece of, if I can say the word ass, basically that goes along with every, singer, songwriter that I've been with. I'm the eye candy is what I'm trying to say.
Not the artist, not the beautiful looking lady.
Not the beautiful woman next to me. Yes.
Yes. Absolutely hilarious. Now, in terms of, we're in October, the holidays are coming up. Are you looking for a call from the UFC to step in there right away? Are you looking at just relaxing over the next few months and then looking at 2015 as a potential return to the octagon?
I would say in the idea of not really rest, more in the idea of just growing, like we talked about. I think basically with I'm back in the gym. I'm going to be back in the gym on Monday, and just getting right in there. I was very lucky not to be hurt, even with all the kicks. A little swollen feet from getting an elbow too, but with that being said, this fight just made me more hungry, and I love being under those lights and just showing everyone what I'm capable of, and I want to do that as soon as possible. In regards to set date, I'd prefer just in regards to timing, more of the January, February time. If the UFC did call me for like a big show in December, I'd be ready. And with that being said, there's also ones in January too. You have John Jones headlining, and also the super fight between Nick Diaz and Anderson Silva. It'd be amazing to be a part of any of those.
So you have no issues traveling overseas, or not traveling overseas, traveling outside of Canada and competing under the bright lights of Las Vegas?
Yes. Well, I haven't been to Vegas, so I'm really looking to pop my cherry sometime soon, and that'd be an amazing excuse.
Well, I think you and I have discussed this on the record and off the record. I don't think Dana White want you or I in Vegas at the same time, so we'll have to negotiate something with the big boss over there. If people haven't figured it out right now, you are definitely, quote-unquote, a character. Now, I do know you on a personal level, so I can attest to the character portion, but you are a down-to-earth guy. But for the fans that are listening in right now, what do you do on your downtime?
Well, a little bit of everything. I would also say I'm a self-proclaimed conspiracy nut. I love just getting to the portal that is YouTube and just going through all those. And I love to, like, honestly, as simple as it is, just I'm a huge, just basically history buff, and the idea of knowledge is power. And I also, you know what, I also really like just useless facts. I always just tell people the most random useless facts. Like, for instance, Mortimer was Mickey Mouse's original name.
Why does that not surprise me? And for those that are listening in right now, I can attest to one other thing when it comes to Elias. Elias is that guy that when he cracks a he's got this crazy little wit that when he cracks a joke, you sort of, it is funny, but then about 2 hours later, you think back and you thought to myself, oh my God, that may have been the funniest thing I've ever heard. And he had like 10 in a row that you completely missed. So you've got an amazing wit, you've got an amazing fighting style, and above all, thank you very much for joining us today. There's never enough time, but before we let you go, are you have any appearances or any spots that you'll be hitting up soon where fans can come check you out?
I'm going to be doing a thank you again, brother, by all your kind words. Honestly, I truly appreciate it. And with that, a couple of things that are coming up. It's just I'm doing something with a calendar, essentially, with Rethink Canada. It's for breast cancer, and I'm going to be on the cover. It's if you guys go and find on Twitter, Rethink, it's a great cause, and I'm going to be shirtless gracing the cover of it. So I'm going to be going to, I think, the Everything About Sex, convention or whatever like that, and I'll be doing some signings. So if you look, I'll be looking for that, because it's, even though it's a little cheesy, it's for a good cause. And I'm going to be gracing the cover shirtless. So you're welcome, everybody. And sorry.
I could make so many rebuttals to what you just said, but I will leave it at that. I will leave that conversation for you and I off the record. But again, Elias, thank you very much for your time. We look forward to catching up with you real soon.
Thanks, brother, and thanks for being a gracious host.
There you have it, Elias Theodora. All right, from one man who was victorious in the octagon to another Canadian who was victorious in Halifax, making waves in the UFC's bantamweight division, Mitch Gagnon joins us right now on UFC Central. Mr. Gagnon, how are you today?
Doing great. Just back home, enjoying a little bit of downtime.
Now, you say back home. Are you in Toronto, or are you way up in the northern end of Ontario, probably freezing right now?
Yeah, something like that, yeah. It's beautiful. Come on, man.
It's in my area. I'm just north of Toronto. The trees are changing colors. I mean, there are people on the side of the road in my neighborhood taking a picture of a mini forest we have in the neighborhood. I can just imagine what it's like up there, though. Because listen, if you're in Sudbury, it's cold up there, man.
Yes, it gets cold, but right now it's nice. It's probably looking at a few degrees difference from Toronto to Sudbury. Like, I would say, you guys are like 10 degrees right now. We're about 3-4 right now.
It's October 9th, my friend. It is absolutely freezing to be at 3 degrees, but something you have to get used to when you are a Canadian and you live up there. Am I assuming that you are with family right now? You're going to take some time off and enjoy the spoils of what happened in Halifax?
Yeah, definitely. I'll be here for a few weeks, I'll get back right into it. I'm not injured, and I'll get back into training as soon as possible, so I'll be back south in a few weeks.
Well, obviously, being up there and taking some time off, am I assuming you are not going to be a bantamweight over the next few weeks? You'll probably be somewhere around a middleweight?
Well, you know what? I try to keep that in check now. I hate doing the big cuts, but I'll definitely be eating up to 10 this weekend, that's for sure.
You know what? I still have yet to take up your offer to even try poutine. I think I'm the only person in Canada who's never tried poutine, so I will save it for the day you and I are somewhere, and I will try it on your behalf. It has to be, obviously, after a fight, because we can't do it during fight camp. But let's talk about what happened in Halifax. Roman Salazar, who seemed like it was your 10th different opponent heading into the cage, into the octagon there. What was that like leading up to the event when you realized you had so many different opponent changes?
As far as the opponent change, it didn't really bother me. It mostly bothered me the week of. I honestly thought when I woke up Monday of 5 week, I wasn't getting an opponent. So I kind of convinced myself that I wasn't fighting, you know. And a part of me, you know, is relieved, and I hate that. And you know, when they finally got the opponent, I had to go back, you know, and get back that mental focus I had all camp, right? Because I truly thought, you know, they weren't going to get an opponent the week of the fight. Like, I thought it was going to be impossible. But, you know, as far as opponent change, you know, what happens, it's the fight game, people get injured, and, you know, I stayed focused, and I put my time in. You know, that's what I do. I put my time in every aspect of the sport, and, you know, I'm ready for anything.
The one thing guys tell me all the time whenever they get, not all the time, when they get a new opponent or someone that steps up on short notice, one of three things happens. A, they are grateful to the gentleman or lady who steps up to fight them. B, they're insulted as if to say, how dare you think you can take me on a week's notice? Or C, you know what, it's a business. This guy needs to make money. I got to make money. We just go in there and do that. Is it the same thing for you? Is it somewhere across between all those three?
You know, I see it this way. It was he put his foot down, you know, in the UFC. They like guys that will step up for them, and he did. And you know, I would, you know, I did the same thing. And I don't think that way at all. You know, it's one of those things where he on top of that, Salazar fought like a week before accepting the fight. So you know, he was in shape. He just fought for a title for another organization, so he was coming off, you know, a quick turnaround. So, yeah, you know, it's one of those things. Like, no, I don't think about it. No, it's, you know, I know it's a business, and, you know, I would do the same thing if I were doing it in a spot.
You're listening to UFC Central. Right now on the line with me is Mitch Gagnon. Follow Mitch online via Twitter, at Mitch Gagnon UFC. He emerged victorious versus Roman Salazar at UFC Fight Night, McDonald versus Saffedine in Halifax, Nova Scotia. At 2 minutes and 6 seconds of the first round, not too much difficult work, but it's still a fight is a fight. Walk me through the finish there, because you know, things were going your way pretty much from the whole fight, but at the same time, it was only 2 minutes and 6 seconds, but I'm sure your heart was racing the whole time.
Yeah, you know, it's I knew I hurt him with the left hook, and he went for a takedown, so I just kind of clinched and got the takedown on my own. Got a head and arm control and then spun back, got my hooks in real quick, and, you know, I thought I was going to fight more for the choke, but the choke sucked in really deep. I didn't want to, I think one of the reasons why it took that long to finish the choke was I was trying not to gas my arms. I didn't want to, I wanted to get it in deep and you know, get that proper squeeze. So I was taking my time on the squeeze, but you know, I knew I was going to get a choke at you know, especially when we fell.
You're 4-1 in the UFC right now. Your very first you know, debut in the UFC obviously was a loss to Brian Carey, which is arguably not just fight of the night, but potentially fight of the year. Since then, you've gone undefeated in your last four fights. Many people now have you in the top 15 of the UFC's bantamweight division. Any word from the UFC as potentially either A, who may be next, or potentially you will be getting someone in the top 15 or top 10?
Yeah, you know, definitely. I think, you know, I had a brief talk with Josh Elgin, and, you know, I think he's going to give me a top 15, top 10 for my next fight. No word on who or when, but, you know, I really don't care who it is. As long as it's a top 10 fighter, I'm happy with it.
Now, are you waiting for that Montreal card, or if the UFC says, listen, we need you to fight in, I don't know, Australia, England, Vegas, you'll just jump on the opportunity, or is that Montreal card looking real slick now that we know that Rory McDonald is getting that title fight versus the winner of Johnny Hendricks and Robbie Lawler?
You know, I take a quick turnaround fight, but whatever they want, you know, if they want to put me on the March card, you know, I'll be happy with that. I just want to be more... I want to fight more, you know. I mean, I don't want to just fight twice a year, you know. I'd like to put at least three. That'd be ideal for me. So if they could put me, you know, the December card, I'd still do the March card if they put me on, you know.
Fair enough. Listen, keep your phone on, and I'll pay attention to when your next bout's going to be, because if you aren't competing anytime around the February time zone, I'm giving you a call. We're going to do some ice fishing, my friend.
Sounds good, man. Let's do it.
There you have it. Mitch Gagnon, I cannot wait to hit a lake. And for those that don't know, this guy is a legit fisherman. He sends me some of the pictures of the fish that he catches and some of the lures that he makes. The guy is an absolute fantastic fisherman. Anyways, thank you very much to Mitch Gagnon, Elias Theodoro, and good old Jim Ross, JR, for joining us this week on UFC Central. And of course, you, the fans, for listening in. You've been listening to UFC Central on the Sportsnet Fan Radio Network.
Fire in the sky.